Okay, so first I'll be Gesher Kaich. I think it was Eli Geffen sponsored this morning. Okay. Vez Hashem, I think. Okay. Vez Hashem, Shkoyach to Eli Geffen for sponsoring the breakfast this morning. Shbizorcha to all Shefer, Bracha, Batzlacha. All good things. Thank you. Okay, so we'll learn a little bit about Purim this morning. You know, the hallmark of every Yontif has one thing that sort of every Yontif, Shabbos, all has in common is a Suda. There's always Sudas. Shabbos has three, Yontif has two every day. So Purim also has a Suda, but I think we all understand that, you know, sort of you can feel that the Suda of Purim is different than the Suda of Shabbos and Yontif. It's different. So that's what we're going to be learning this morning. The ending of Sudas Purim, halachically, and then in Pnimius, to explain the sort of the feel, the difference. All right. So we'll jump right in. So in Marmok number one is the Rambam in Hilchus Megillah. So in Rambam Hilchus Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yudalid, says the Rambam as follows. Mitzvahs Yom Yudalid. This is more of an introductory halacha, but the Rambam says, Mitzvahs Yom Yudalid, Lebnei Kfarim Vayaris, the 14th of Adar for villages and big cities, open cities. The Yom Tesvav Levnei Krachim, and Tesvav, the 15th of Adar for walled cities. So again, 14th for those cities, 15th for the other cities. So the mitzvah is that those days should be liyos, and they should be Yom Simcha Umishta Umishleich Manas Lareyim Umatonis Levyoinim. He's playing with the pasuk in Megillah that it should be a Yom of Simcha Mishta Umishleich Manas Lareyim Umatonis Levyoinim. The Rambam says, "Usudas Purim shaso b'layla." The Suda of Purim, that you, if a person does it at night, lo yasdei chavasa, you're not yaitze. It has to be done by the day. Now, there's a few points over here. First of all, just one small hara. The Rambam changes the order of the pasuk. He's yom simcho mishto mishleich manis l'reim matanis avyainim is paraphrasing. It's based on a pasuk in the Megillah with some minor changes. But one is the order. In the Megillah, the order is Yoy Mishta V'Simcha U'Mishleich Manas Ishlariyeyu Matanis Avyoinim. It's Mishta V'Simcha. The Rambam switches the order of Yoy Simcha U'Mishta. So maybe we'll see about that. But that's point number one. The second point is the last few words. The Sudas Purim Shaso B'Layla. The Suda Purim that you do it, if a person does it at night, so it's supposed to be done. It's supposed to be done by the day, like he just said before. Yom Simcha Mishta. It's a day, but if a person does it at night, lo yasdei chavasa. You're not yaitze. You're not yaitze the suda. You have to do it by the day. So there's a little bit of a shift over here. He started off in all those mitzvahs that he mentioned in the first sentence of Yom Simcha Mishta Mishleich Manas Lareim Matanis Avyoinim. So where is the word suda there? Obviously, there's no word suda there, right? Then he talks about this, the Suda of Purim. What he's referencing the Suda of Purim as if we know what's the Suda? What is this? The answer is he mentioned it before, Yom Simcha Mishta. So when the Rambam says the word Mishta, that's the term that the Megillah uses to describe it. The word Mishta, that's a reference to Suda's Purim. And that's why the Rambam says, again, the day should be a Yom Simcha Mishta, Mishlech Manas Lareim Matanas Av Yainim, and this I just mentioned that it should be a day of a mishta, so that's what I'm telling you now, that it should be yom simcha mishta, sudas purim shaso b'layla, if you did it at night, lo yasdei chavasa. So what we see right away is that there is something, that's what we're going to see in a moment, I guess I'll get to the point. The fundamental difference between the suda of Purim and the suda of any other yontif is when it comes to other yom tovim, there's a chiv to have a suda. What does it mean a suda? Suda means to wash. A suda means basically means to wash and to have bread. There's also, and we also understand that the suda of yontif should also be an expression of simchas yontif, which requires basar, preferably some yayin, according to some shitas. So that's the meal. That's the suda's yontif. Shabbos also. That's true. The Shabbos yontif. When it comes to Purim, it's something else. Even though a person has a suda and the halacha talks about the suda's Purim, but fundamentally it's not a suda. Fundamentally, the chiyuv is not to have a suda like we have on Shabbos and Yontif. Fundamentally, it's a chiyuv to have a mishta. A mishta. How do you translate a mishta? I guess it means party. It's a different thing. It has some. There are some things that they share in common, like you're going to wash and you're going to eat, you know, and you're going to enjoy yourself. But it's a different inyan. It's called a mishta. And that's what the Rambam is trying to say over here. Yeah. So that's what the Rambam is saying over here, that the chiyuv is yoim simchu mishta. Again, he doesn't just say like kid chsib like it says in the pasuk. He's saying the halacha, the definition. It's called the chiyuv is to have a mishta. And the suda's perm that he then references is the suda of the mishta. What is the difference between, now let's first establish the facts. Like what makes something a suda versus something a mishta? In order to fulfill the mitzvah of Purim. Because again, that's what we're saying over here. The mitzvah of Purim is not to have a suda. The mitzvah of Purim is to have a mishta. So what makes a suda into a mishta? So it says, now take a look at Maramaka number 2, the Rambam, the next halacha. This was halacha Yudala, now it's halacha Tezva. It says the Rambam, Keitzad choyva suda zu. How does one fulfill the requirement of this suda? Again, that's unique, that it's a mishta. How does one fulfill it? So now the Rambam says a few things. Shayachal basar, you should eat meat. Again, that's similar to Sudas Yantif also, okay? Although it's slightly different, because when it comes to Yantif, there's no chiyuv to eat meat per se. The chiyuv is to have simcha through the Suda, and we assume basar does that. But over here, it's more fundamental. Person So again, point number one has to eat meat. V'yisakin Suda no kefi asher tim sayada. And a person, and in order for it to fulfill this mitzvah, you have to eat meat, but you also have to. Generally speaking, the suda has to be beautiful and naw, based on what you can afford. So, in other words, when it comes to yontif, it's not like that, right? Yontif is what does the suda mean? Suda means you wash, you have challah, you have bread, and you have basar yayin, and so on. Do you have to spend as much money on the suda that's relative to what you can afford? Again, it doesn't mean to push oneself all the way to the limit, obviously. But it means, does it have to be kifi asher tim sayadai? There's no halach in Hilchas Yontif like that. Because in Hilchas Yontif, you need a suda. What does it mean a suda? Everyone has the same, a suda means the same thing for everybody. You wash, you have some meat, yain, whatever it is, that's a suda. But over here, it's not like that. In order for it to be a mishta, you have to have basar, aleph. You also have to have other stuff, right? It can't just be one course. That's what it doesn't just mean basar. By Yontif, doesn't say you have to have many courses, but Yontif doesn't say you have to have many things. As long as you wash and you have basar, you're fine. But over here, you have to have basar, v'yisakin sudana. But there also has to be other stuff that you're eating at the meal. It has to be nice. And number three, kfi asher tim sayada, it has to be, you have to spend, you have to make it as nice as befitting for you, as what some that you could afford. It's within your range. Kfi asher tim sayada. The final point, says the Rambam, v'shay sayayin. You also drink wine during the meal. Achi yishtaker, until you become a little bit inebriated, v'yirda mishikrusai, and fall asleep through the drinking. So that's also, so again, that's the famous Gemara, right? Rava says, chayvin shubusim v'puri, ad lo yoda, and so on. The Rambam holds that's not a standalone idea. It's like you have shalchmanis, you have matanis avyonim, you have a suda, you also have chayvin shubusim. It's not like that. That's a definition of the suda. Because again, that's what moves it, that's another ingredient that moves it from suda to mishta. What moves it from suda to mishta is, again, you have yayin, okay, you have basar, you have other foods besides basar. There's a lot of foods going on. Kivya asher tim sayadai, you're spending the money that's within your range to spend. You're not being constricted about it. Obviously, what you can do, but kivya asher tim sayadai, and you're drinking wine throughout the meal to the degree where it's, again, that's when you put these things together, then it becomes a mishta. Then it becomes a mishta. Huh? To fall asleep. That's the way he's describing it. Next thing, says the Rambam in the same halacha, v'chein, the word v'chein always means a link. V'chein, and also, and so too, chayev adam l'shloich shtei manes basar. So, and as well, on Purim, you're obligated from one Jew to send to his friend shalchmanis, right? So two cuts of meat, two types of cooked dishes, two types of food, whatever it is. Shenemar mishloich manis isher yehu, shtei manis lishachad, right? Two gifts to one person. V'chlamar b'lishloich l'reyim, whoever increases in this and gives more and so on, meshubach, the person is praised. Right, either it means to give to give a lot more to a friend, or to give to more friends. It's mishubach, it's praised. Now, So this now the Rambam just introduced us to the mitzvah Shalach Manos. It's in the same halacha as the previous halacha, the previous din that we just talked about, which is moving it from a Suda to a Mishtah. In that same halacha, the Rambam introduces Shalach Manos. And not only does he introduce Shalach Manos, he uses the word V'chein. But compare it to the next halacha. The next halacha, in halacha Tez Zayin, he introduces us to the mitzvah of the Tanis of Yoyne. And over there, that's a new halacha, and there's no word V'chein linking it. It says the Rambam V'chayiv, L'chalak L'aniyim B'yom HaPurim. A person is also obligated to share his money with Aniyim on Purim. To give tzedakah, increased amount. Ein poich semishnei, and then he gives some of the details. Ein poich semishnei aniyim. You have to give to at least two aniyim. Nois in the kolechad maton achas. And to each one of the two aniyim, you give at least one gift. Ay mois, it could be money. Aminei tavshil, aminei oichlam, it could also be food. Whatever it is, but you have to give one gift, you know, per ani, two aniyim. Shnemer umatonois lev yoinim. Shtei matonis l'shnei aniyim. So in these halachas, Rambam introduces us to the mitzvah of Mishtah, of Sudas Purim being a Mishtah. He introduced us to the mitzvah of Shalach Manos and the mitzvah of Matanis of Yoinah. But the Rambam made a connection. He connected the mitzvah of Sudas Purim and Mishtah, right, to the mitzvah of Mishlach Manos. With V'chein, it's the same halacha. Matanis of Yoinah was a standalone din in the next halacha, something on its own. What you see from the Rambam is that in order, again, going back, in order to make the Suda into a Mishtah, you need to fold in a few, there has to be some added elements, right? So again, what are the added elements? We saw it. It has to have basar, it has to have more, the main dish is basar, but there has to be other stuff too. It can't just be a piece of meat. It has to be other stuff too. It has to be kfiyah shetim seyada. You have to spend extra money on it in order to make it extravagant. You have to drink wine throughout the meal, to the point of where the Rambam says, you become inebriated a little bit and you fall asleep and so on. Chayvin Shabasume, it's in the context of the Suda. But the Rambam is also adding, by the way, in order to really make it a Mishta 100%, it has to be linked with the other Chiyiv of Mishlaich Manos. And Mishlaich Manos is a standalone halach, it's a standalone mitzvah, but it's also complementing the Sudas Purim. And in order for the Sudas Purim to be a Mishta, the fact that you're also giving Shalach Manos on Purim enhances the fact that the Sudas Purim is now called a Mishta as well. So but again, this is like a funny relationship, right? Because it's not, you know, again, in the first sentence where the Rambam said, Ketzad Chayva Sudas Purim, like how do you make it a Mishta? The Rambam didn't just say right there, send Shalach Manos, right? So, you know, he so it's almost as if there's the essential definition of what a mishta is on Purim, which is again basar, other things, spending extra money on it, drinking throughout the meal. That's like essentially what makes it into a mishta, and to sort of a secondary element to make it a mishta is also to fulfill the requirement of Mishlach Manos. So when a person sends Shalach Manos on Purim, you're being mekayim in the mitzvah of Shalach Manos, but you're also making your mitzvah of Sudas Purim, of Mishta on Purim, 100% complete. If a person, let's say, doesn't give Shalach Manos, Chas V'Shalom on Purim, so the person missed out the mitzvah of Shalach Manos, obviously, but it also detracts from the completion of the mitzvah of Mishta, of the Sudas Purim. So even when a person fulfills all those other elements, there's basar, there's other things, you spent a lot of money, and there's wine and so on, if there's no Shalach Manos, it's not 100% Mishta Purim either. That's what Rambam says. Matanis Avyonim is not like that. Matanis Avyonim is purely a standalone halacha. It's a standalone halacha. A person, the Rambam then, by the way, the next halacha, the Rambam then goes on to say that if once a person is fulfilling all their requirements, you should definitely spend more money on Matanis Avyonim than the other mitzvahs. The Rambam explains why. But fundamentally, Matanis Avyonim is not an enhancement in Sudas Purim. But Shalach Manos is. Okay, that's this idea. Now, by the way, this bond between Shalach Manos and the Mishta and the Sudas Purim, we also find it in Halacha. One of the qualities of the Mishta, of what makes a Suda into a Mishta, is like the Rambam said, Kfiya Shetim Seyada. Like there has to be a certain level of Ravchus, of like expansiveness, like more than necessary, right? A Suda is what's necessary, right? You wash, you have wine, and you have basar, that's what's necessary. Making it a mishta what makes it a mishta is that you're adding things that are unnecessary, right? So it's like more things besides the wine. You're spending more money. You're drinking in excess. There's a certain, like ravchus. The fact that shalach manis is linked to that, so the Rambam also therefore hinted in that sentence that even in shalach manis, there is an aspect of expansiveness, of more than necessary, built into the mitzvah. So for example, the fact that you're, first of all, the fact that the halacha is that you have to give two gifts to another yid. Why? I mean, if you see by Matanas Davyayin that one gift is, that's a normal thing. One person gets one gift. But no, one person gets two gifts. So you see already built into Shalach Manis, there's an inyan of excess, of more. Because again, it's related to the Mishta, and the definition of a Mishta is excess. And the Rambam said more than that. The Rambam said, V'chol amar v'lishleich l'reyim, the more you send, the more people you send to, the more things you get, so whatever it is, meshubach, the better. What do you mean? What do you mean? If a person does a mitzvah many, many times, okay, so every time you do it is a mitzvah. The fact that Rambam says if you increase in shalach manis, it's meshubach, it means it makes the shal, it's a better key of mitzvah of shalach manis when you send more shalach manis. It's because baked into the mitzvah of shalach manis has a similar quality to the mitzvah of a mishta, which is excess, more. And the more you do, the actual better it is. It's not like you're doing the same mitzvah many, many times. When you do it many, many times, it's the mitzvah is better. It's a higher quality mitzvah shalach manis because you did shalach manis in excess. Similar to how the mishta of Purim is called a mishta because it was a suda in excess. So this is what the picture the Rambam is painting to us, is that the mitzvah of mishta is the defining feature of Purim, and Mishleich Manis is linked to that. Mishleich Manis is linked to that. I mean, it could be maybe that's why the Rambam changed the order of the pasuk, right, in the first halacha, Yom Simcha Umishta Mishleich Manis, because he wanted to connect Mishleich Manis, maybe he wanted to connect the word Mishta to Mishleich Manis, because as we see in the halacha that follows, he connects it to. That's the idea. Now, by the way, just a little bit on the side, just to get a little bit of a source where the Rambam got this from. So the truth is, the idea, one can make the argument that maybe the Rambam, the source, all that's necessary for the Rambam as a source is the fact that the pasuk calls it a mishta. No? The fact that it's called a mishta already means that it's not just tamasuda; it's something something more. I don't think there's apia halacha. There's no reason for that. Although many paiskim do say is that one of the inyanim of shalach manis is to provide another yid with things that he could use for the suda. But there's no chiv on the recipient to actually use it by the suda if it's convenient. You can. But there's no chiv like that. But fundamentally,
Dafka. They don't have to.
Eat
it's excess.
Yeah. Saying, right. Yeah, it doesn't. You definitely don't have to. I don't know if you're dafka not supposed to, but I'm saying. But it's the concept, though. That's what we're going to see soon when we get to the penis. We'll understand why. In other words, evidently, just the simple fact that Yankel sends shalach manis to Beryl means that Yankel's mishta is a better mishta. So it's not so much because of the recipient. Now he has more stuff. The fact that you send to someone else makes your mishta a better mishta. It's your mitzvah shalach manis. So your mitzvah shalach manis that you fulfill by sending to another yid makes your mishta a better mishta. And we have to explain that. Yeah. So it's not a hierarchy, but it's based in the Gemara. When the Gemara is in Megillah Daf Zayin, where it talks about the different examples of Meroyim of Shalach Manis, those are the three examples the Gemara gives. Two different cuts of meat, two tafshilin, or two types of eichlin. So that's what the Rambam is using from the Gemara. So piggybacking off of that, actually, so just to give a source from the Gemara of this idea that the Suda of Purim should be in excess, that's part of the mitzvah, that it should be a suda, it should be a mishta. So if you take a look at the Gemara, Maramaka number 4 is the Gemara Megillah, and the Zayin and Mebeis, Amar Abaya. So it's a It's one of these. When you learn it, it's a strange Gemara. Like, what exactly is Abaye teaching you? Abaye is our Rebbe. Everything Abaye says in the Gemara is teaching us something. So, what's Abaye teaching us with this? Amar Abaye, the Gemara says a whole Maisa that Rabba was sending Shalach Manis to Moribar Rav. I can't remember exactly. Rabba was sending Shalach Manis to one of the Amoraim, and he sent Abaye as a shliach. So Abaye was the Talmud of Rabba. He was being sent as a shliach to the other Amora to deliver Shalach Manis. So Abaye said, it's the whole Gemara of talking about what the Shalach Manis was. So we learn halachas from there. But the Gemara says that when Abaye came to the other Amora to deliver the Shalach Manis on behalf of Rabba, so this other Amora sort of, you know, invited him to be part of the Suda. And the Gemara, and now Abaye describes what the Suda was. Amar Abaye, Kinafkin Bibemar, when I left my Rebbe's home, Rabba's home, to deliver the Shalach Manis, Havasavan, I was already full, so I wasn't hungry. But Kimati Lahasim, but when I got there to the next Amar to deliver the Shalach Manis, Krivili Shitin Tsoi, the Shitin Minikadera, they offered me 60 different plates of 60 different types of foods. Bashta 60 is it's a number that Chazal used as an exaggeration. It's a lot. They offered me a lot of different foods, and I wasn't even hungry. But it was so delicious and so on. Va'achli b'hushitin flugi, and I ate big portions of each one of these 60 foods. Ubishul basraisa, and the last thing that they gave was like some sort of dessert. Havakorle tzoli kader was called tzoli kader. Uboy lameka tzoi basra, and I wanted to I was eating it with a lot of excitement. So Nez, what? Okay, so read this Gemara. What are you telling us? You're like, then go on to tell us the ingredients and the recipes. Doesn't do that. So like, what exactly is the, what's the point? So the Vilna Gaon actually says this Gemara is the source for the concept of the Rambam that Sudas Purim should be a mishta, should be kfiya shetim siyodan. And so that's what he's trying to say. He's like, it was, I was full already, which I'm sure when they said to Abaye, would you want to eat? He said, I'm full already. He's like, no. And the whole thing was kfiya shetim siyodan, was ravchus, because again, that's changing it from a suda into a mishta. Okay, so that's the idea. So now let's understand the pnimis a little bit. What's this inyan? What is Sudas Purim? Why is it beyond Suda to a Mishta, and what's the relationship exactly to Shalach Manis? Okay, so take a look at Maramaka number 5. This is a piece from Rav Tzadik in Sefer Machshavas Charetz, 173-174. So, he's not going back in the Rambams and these things, but you'll see the principle there Rav Tzadik says, we'll be able to explain. So he says a Maramaka thing. I mentioned this by Chanukah. I mentioned this idea when it comes to Chanukah. Now we see it repeated when it comes to Purim. Chanukah and Purim anyway are related. So by Chanukah, I've talked about that to a certain degree, the light of Chanukah, every Yontif is a Yontif based on something that happened, right? And certainly when Mashiach comes, every Yontif sort of fully develops and fully ripens. But ultimately, every Yontif that we have is from what happened. Chanukah is not like that, even though it's because of what happened. That's why I spoke about by Chanukah time. A lot of the shiurim were based on this idea, is that the light of Chanukah fundamentally is a future light, a light of Mashiach that's reverberating backwards. That's Chanukah, and that's also Purim. That's also Purim. Chanukah and Purim are like twin holidays. So listen to what Tzadik says. V'zeo toiki of Kedushas Purim. The intensity of Kedushas Purim, the Amr Chazal, the Chazal already say, Shlo Yisbata Lo'olam, that it'll never stop. The la'asid, that he says not like when Mashiach comes, adarava yizgal oid yoiser, the light of Purim will become increased. Why? So it says Rav Tzadik, this is the principle. The kol kedushasai who is galus man la'asid. The whole inyan of Purim is a revelation of a taste of what is in the future. It's not be'etzem a yontiv of the past that will just increase with the coming Mashiach. It be'etzem is just a reverberation of a future light of Mashiach. And he says like this, Usudas Purim, and what is the Suda of Purim? Ume'en Suda de la'asid. It's a little bit, it's a me'en, it's a taste of the Suda of the future. We know that Chazal describes such a thing. When Mashiach comes, there's a Suda Slavyasin, right? Yasin, the Shara Bar, there's some sort of, and the Tzadikim will be laughing. According to Chazal, in that future Suda, there's three things served. There's the Leviathan, the Shar HaBar, right? Some big fish, the Shar HaBar, and Yayin HaMashumer Banavav, wine from Sheshes Mei Breishes, from the 6 days of creation. So says Rav Tzadik, that Suda of Lasilavai, that reflects itself, that's reverberating backwards in time towards us, that's Suda's Purim. So this is, again, this is the fundamental difference. That's why it's not a Suda, it's a Mishta. It's a whole different Inyan, because it's a reflection of the later experience of Sudas Leviathan, which has more than just one dish. You know, it's the Shor HaBar, but it has other stuff also. And there's wine, Kfi Ashetim Siyadai. You know, we're talking about Hashem doesn't give us the Suda based on our level. He's giving it Kfi Ashetim Siyadai Kiviyachol, Shor HaBar, Leviathan, Yayin from 6 days of creation. Like when they gave Abayi, it wasn't based on what he was hungry for. It was based on what the Amayra was giving to give. It was Kfi Ashetim Siyadai. So it reverberates back also to Suda's Purim. There has to be in that way of Mishta, yeah. Huh? Which Suda's Purim? Why do we say Leviathan? Yeah. Okay. So that's what we'll say. Maybe next week we'll speak more about Bepratis. Now we're just getting the general picture. Next week we'll speak more Bepratis about it. But that's the idea. So this everything about Purim is really Lasa Lavai, and even the Suda is a reflection of the ultimate Suda. And he says a very interesting thing. Three lines in. Da'alkin Omer be'Ester Rabba. There's a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says in Ester Rabba, Da'achashverish Omer lehem, by the Suda of Achashverish, Achashverish said to Klal Yisrael, Im yeh lehem kein la'asid. He was like, talking about himself. He's saying, a Suda like this, are you going to have this Lasa Lavai? So, V'heim Ishivu, Klal Yisrael responded to Achashverosh, the Yoimru Kvar Chalim Me Achashverosh. You're right, Achashverosh. When we get Lasa Lavai, we're going to say, oh, this is taka similar to the meal that we have by Achashverosh. So he says like this. That's the Medrash. So obviously the simple pshat is, Achashverosh is, haughty, he's talking about himself, and the Klal Yisrael are like playing back, they're playing his game. So he says, "V'divrei hevel v'taina shel mavakav," but stam words that are meaningless, conversations that don't mean anything. Lo yhayel lechazal lahazker. Chazal wouldn't record this. If it's recorded in the medrash, you have to say birchas hatar before you learn it, right? So obviously it means that there's some deeper content to it. Aval afal. He said, "What's the pshat?" So he says, "Afal pisha kafi machshavtai diber divrei hevel." So of course, when Achashverosh said that those words, of course he wasn't thinking anything esoteric. He was trying to talk about himself. So he was saying, in his mind, he was saying meaningless words. But mazel chaze. But Achashverosh's mazel was picking up on something. Subconsciously, there was some truth that was coming out of his mouth. To be'emes, tfimash sheizachu nafsham anshik nesak doyle b'oise suda. Because the truth is, the anshik nesak doyle and tzaddikim, they were by the suda. They didn't want to be there, but they had to be there and so on. So when they were there and they were, on some level trying to do the best they can to handle that experience, v'zochu l'havu harafula maka, and they were zeichet to bring down the refuah before the maka of Haman, right? They were able to, even at that Suda, right? We know Vashti was killed, and that sets up the scene for Esther Amalka and so on. So the refuah, the Menaziyantiv of Purim, already started to come down by the Suda of Achashverosh, right? U'l'havi kedushas Purim ha'olam. V'oisa Suda, ha'isa eschalta l'sudas Purim. That's what it is, right? The Suda of Achashverosh was the beginning of what eventually, takes on the experience of Suda's Purim. Shenik v'acharkach l'mitzvah v'pi chachamim. And which is a mitzvah, the chazal that were by the Suda, then tell us the mitzvah of Suda's Purim. So therefore, since at the meal of Achashverosh, which is sort of the beginning of the emergence of Suda's Purim, tomu gamkin bo ma'isa kedusha. So, ironically, and it's a crazy thing, but the Chachamim in Sudas Achashverosh deeply and some sort of level were able to sense in the experience of Achashverosh Suda and something of Sudas Leviathan, of the Suda of Lasalava. Because ultimately, this Suda is going to be the beginning of Sudas Purim. And Sudas Purim is a me'en of Lasalava, so they experienced a little bit now. V'hu kedusha sasuda de la'asid, and that's the kedusha of the suda of la'asid lavai of liyasan v'sharabar v'yayin ha'mashumar, of the ox, the liyasan, and the wine from sheshes mebreshes. So he says again, and this is why this is their response, right? So Achashverosh is just stopped talking. There's never going to be a suda like this, and they said Yitaka la'asid lavai. We're going to say Yitaka. This reminds us of Achashverosh because that's the truth. So now Rav Tzadik goes a little bit deeper. And what's this inning of Sudas Leviathan? So maybe next week we'll speak about it more in detail, but just the general idea. What is this idea of having a pseudo? Like, what is that? So he says like this. Sheyizko aydei nitzuach uzvichas gimel yitzarim. Lasa lovey means that we're going to... The suda of lasa lovey is a suda of us conquering and us completely erasing from reality the three essential yitzharas. What are the three essential yitzharas? Like the Mishnah says, kina, taiv, and kavod. Kina, taiv, and kavod. Right? Jealousy, right, which is more of like anger and murder, chas v'shalom, that side of things. Taivas, and kavod is ego. The Mishnah says, kina, taiv, and kavod, mitzien es adam min ha'olam. It removes a person from the world. Haman was trying to remove Klal Yisrael kivyachol, right? So which means that Haman, he was coming, he was representing all these three averas, these three yetzaharas of kina, taiv, and kavod. So the Suda of Lasa Lavai, which is a Suda celebrating the victory of holiness over impurity, means the victory of these three problems of Kina, Taiv, and Kavod. And he's going to explain. So he says, Sheyizku, the Suda of Lasa Lavai is in celebration over the Schos, Aydei Nitzuach, Uzvichas Gimel Yitzarim, over overcoming these three Yitzars, the Taiva, the Kas, the Geis, right? Taiva, right? Kas, anger, right? And Geis and Gaiva. Gimel Dvarim, Hametzim, Asad, Maidim. Three things that make a person lose their portion in the world. So he says like this. Usudas Aysa Rasha, think about it. The Suda Vachashverish, Hayaklul Mishlashtan, had all three. Ikara, the fundamental point, what is the Suda about? Like it says in Megillah, Baharoisai, Es Yakar, Tefaras Kudulasa, was to show off his wealth. No. That's Liz Geis, that's Gaiva. The Acharkach, and then what happened in the Suda? Bala Taiva. There was Taiva, Zima, he asked Vashti to come, and so on. V'acharkech, and then what happens? Lakas, then there's anger. V'chamasai barabai, and Vashti is killed by the Suda. So you see in the Suda, you have all three. Kinatayv and Kavod. Kinatayv and Kavod. More than that, says Rav Tzadik, V'cheinu haseid v'darka shal yetzara. This is the nature of the yetzara, v'nachash hakadmaini, going all the way back to the beginning, to the original chait. But what happens? B'tchila hechnes geyas. First there's gaiva. The Yisim Kilakim, right? That's what the Nachash says. For, you'll be like God. So there's Gaiva. Umizeba Charkach Lataiva. And then you have Taiva, which is the Tera says, she sees the tree, the Chisav Leinayim, Snech Malamachal. There's Taiva. V'Charkach, and then what happens? Bizarai, in the children with Kain and Hevel, Nizgali Yitzur Dekas. What emerges out of Kain and Hevel is the meaning of Kas, of anger, Ritzicha, Shumnasa Shal Esav, which is what Esav, that's his hallmark. And that was just an unearthing of what was by the Nachash HaKadmoni. The proof of it is, as a result of Cain killing Hevel, what does Hashem do? Hashem curses Cain, but he also curses the earth. Right? Was the earth, again, just like the earth was cursed by Adam and Chava, b'zeis apecha t'archalechem, and so on. So there was the chait of Cain was just an unpackaging of what was already contained in the original chait. So you have this process of gaiva, taiva, right, and kas, right, and that order is exactly the order of the Megillah also. Baharoisai, Yisyakar, Tiferes, Kedulasai. Then there's taiva, bringing Vashti, and then there's kas, Chamasei Barabai. So the three. So the whole Suda of Achashverosh is reflective of the original chait with everything, all the elements that bring destruction. To a person spiritually, physically, just eradicate societies. Everything that undermines Meitzinas Adam in Olam was already, encoded in the first chait, and it's surfacing by the Suda Achashverosh, and the whole Inyan, and then what happens? And V'nahabechu in the Suda Achashverosh is already the revelation of Purim, which is in the end of Lasa Lavei with a tikkun of all those three things. So he says like this. No, kinna, covered. Kas is kinna. Yeah, in the language of Mishnah, it would be kinna, taiva, and covered. Kinna is kas, and covered is gaiva. That would be the thing. So he says, v'uma Yisraelis, and what's our job as Klal Yisrael? Heim shebo l'sakin chetzeh. We're coming to fix the chet of the Nachash, which resurfaces in Suda Achashverosh. The Gemar HaTikun Yilasid, and the ultimate fixing is going to be Lasid Lavei, Shiv is Galus, which will be fully revealed, the Tikun, Achivu Ramin Oilam Lagamri, till evil is eradicated completely, Ubalam Hazu Behelim. Right now it's still hidden. Ubapurim, who is Galus, Shemitzada Helim. And on Purim is a revelation, even within the context of the hidden, the ultimate removal of evil is still hidden to us. But the fact that on Purim there's a little bit of a taste of that truth, a little bit of a revelation of that. Shazoch l'sakin b'yisa suda, and they were zeichet to be misakin in that suda, shal yodei zoch l'mei Purim, which they were zeichet to on Purim. So this is why, let's go back, this is why when it comes to the nature of the Mishta and Purim, let's go back to the Halacha, right? It's not just a Suda, it's a Mishta. All the aspects of the Mishta of Purim, right, are all aspects that can theoretically, Chas V'Shalom, when it's not in Purim, right? See, that's the thing. Purim is like a bubble. Like, that's what's being described. Like, Purim is like a little bit of a bump of a bubble. It's like a window to the future time of where there's not going to be these three Yetzaharas. And then therefore there's no concern of falling into the trap of any of these three Yetzaharas. Outside of that bubble of Purim, then you got to be very careful not to do something that can trip you up in any of these three Yetzaharas, because they're still strong. But in that sort of bubble of Purim, right, which is a window into the next world, right, into the future world where these three Yetzaharas don't exist anymore, so there's no concern of falling into any of them. So the Suda of Purim, therefore, what comes out like this, is that the Suda of Purim is going to be a scenario, going to be a matzav, of where, if it wasn't Purim, it would be leading to Kinnetiv and Kavod. It would be the Suda of Achashverosh. But because it's in the bubble of Purim, which is a window of the next world, so there's no concern. The Suda of Purim, like the Rambam said, is, first of all, it's food in excess, right? Basar, Sudana, and so on. If it wasn't Purim, that's Taiva. The fact that there's also Shaisa Yayin, that a person's drinking wine until they become liberated and so on, that's, if it wasn't Purim, that leads to Kas. That leads to Kas and anger and rage. The Gemara, with many cases in the Gemara where the eating of the Yayin is when it's not taken care of properly, it leads to division between people and hatred and so on. And then the fact that it's, so if it wasn't for Purim, that would lead to kas, to anger and so on. And the fact that also the Mishnah Purim has to be kafi ashtim seyadai, based on what you can afford. If it wasn't for the bubble of Purim, that would lead to gaiva. So all of these elements of Purim, if it wasn't of the Mishta, if it wasn't for the fact that it's Purim, which is a bubble and a window to the next world where there is no Yetzaras anymore, all these ingredients of the Mishta of Purim would be Kinnetiv and Kavod. It would all lead to these problems, which is exactly what was going on by the Sudas Achashverosh. So the Sudas Achashverosh is sort of a glimpse of what a Mishta looks like when it's not in the bubble of Purim. Now the truth is, the Chiddush of the Tzaddikim over there is that they were able to sort of unearth Purim from there. But you see how the Goyim, the way they experienced the Mishta of Achashverosh, with the downfall coming from all those three Yetzaharas, that's exactly what we don't fall into, because the Mishta of Purim is within that bubble of Purim, which is a window of the next world. Right. That contrast. That was a big schus. It's a big limit schus, because that's what's going on. It's a, when you have that bubble of window of loss of love where it's not. So let's understand. So that's the name of the Mishnah. We mentioned also earlier is that the Mishnah of Purim also has to be linked to Shalach Manas. Why? What does that do? So there's a principle, we'll see this in Ratzadik in a moment, but just to say the idea, there's a famous tar from the Ramil Melech, from the Rebbe Melech of Lezhensk. Rebbe Melech said that when a Yid does a mitzvah, so there's a nusach of L'shem Yichud that many people say before you do a mitzvah, and it says before you do the mitzvah, L'shem Yichud, I'm doing this all for the right reasons, and I'm doing it B'shem Kol Yisrael. I'm doing it as part of Klal Yisrael, representing Klal Yisrael. I'm doing it b'shem Klal Yisrael. So what's this inyan of b'shem Klal Yisrael? So the Nevi Melech said, he said that the inyan of the Eitz Sahara and the inyan of anything that's any imperfection only exists on individual levels, on specific levels. But when you zoom all the way out to Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael never went into Golus. Klal Yisrael, Klal Knesset Yisrael, from the beginning to the end, Klal Knesset Yisrael are never subject to the poison of the snake. They're never subject to the poison of the Eitz Haras. Therefore, that's what the Naim Lach says. And when you do a mitzvah, you want to make sure the mitzvah has its full potency. So you say, B'shem Klal Yisrael. You bond yourself with Klal Yisrael, and then you are now attached to a high place that never was sort of affected, that was never poisoned, it's never able to become tripped up. So to a certain degree, the whole inyan of Purim, which is again a window to the next lasalave where there's no yetzaras, a very strong ingredient woven into Purim to allow it to function as a window to lasalave where there's no yetzaras, is that it should be b'shem Kol Yisrael. The more the inyan of Purim is b'shem Kol Yisrael. Kol Yisrael never is anyway not subject, not susceptible to the three yetzaras. So since the whole leading of Mishnah and Purim is what is to be involved with things that theoretically could fall into the three yetzaras of Kaas, Taiva, and Gaiva. You're eating a lot of food, you're drinking a lot of wine, and you're showing off your wealth, right? These are things that can theoretically bring a person into these things. Elamai, why is it not? Because the inyan of Purim, because you know, the reason why not is because it has to be within the context of a situation that's far beyond the Yetzirah's reach. How does it become far beyond the Yetzirah's reach? So the very nature of Purim is such, the day of Purim, the essential day of Purim is what is connected to Lasa Lavai, which is in time beyond the reach of the Yetzirah's. But also, if the Yontif of Purim is deeply connected and the Mishta of Purim is deeply connected to B'Shem Kol Yisrael, that also makes it beyond the reach of the Yetzar. So says the Rambam, the halach is that in order for the Mishta to be 100% a real Mishta of Purim, it also has to be done, you also have to make sure you become Mitzvah Shalach Manas. Because what Shalach Manas? Shalach Manas is that your Suda, I'm not complete until you're complete. Shalach Manas means hischabros. It means connection. It means b'shem Kol Yisrael. When there's a b'shem Kol Yisrael, then that increases the protection, the bubble of Purim to make sure that the Suda of Purim, the Mishta of Purim, is takam en, the Suda of Levi Yasin, Lasa Lavai, which is all the aspects that would theoretically have led until that point to Metzinas Adam and Ha'olam, and now it's not because there's no Yetzaras anymore. And that's what the Suda of Purim is. So the day of Purim is a reflection of La'asad, and when it's done in the context of B'Shem Kol Yisrael through Shalach Manas, then it adds to that that component. Again, that's why the Rambam didn't say that it's a T'nai Li'Kuva. The Rambam didn't say that if you don't give Shalach Manas, you're not Yoytzei Mishta Purim. He didn't say that. But he said, if you want for the Mishta Purim to be 100%, make sure you also give Shalach Manas too. Because again, the fact that it's a Mishta Purim, the fundamental, the most important bubble is the fact that it's on Purim, which is a reflection of a future time. But if you could also make the Suda in a way that it's connected to B'Shem Kol Yisrael, that increases the protection of that bubble. Because now you're connected to a Kol Yisrael that's also above the reach of the Yetzaharas. Exactly. Very good. Very good. That's the Dika of the Rambam. The Rambam said that the mitzvahs of Purim are not just stam to do at a certain day. They're defining features of the day itself. It's a yom simchu mishnu mishloach manas mitzvahs of yonim. It defines the day, because that's the idea. The day is a day that's reflective of lasa lavai. So let's see the last paragraph, which is end with this. U'b'chol Purim yeshes noitzitzus me'oisei ha'ar desvichas hayetzer. Every Purim, there's an awakening, there's a sparking of that light of La'asid Lavai, where the Yetzaras will be removed, the Tikkun HaSchol Sachet, and the fixing of the original sin of the Nachash, Val Kain Nikri Yimei Mishta. The Rambam Sofi says it openly. That's why they're called the days of Mishta. V'lei Nikri Kain B'Shom Yontif, no Yontif is other called it. Every Yontif is a Suda, but over here it's called a Mishta. Duhurak Zman Simcha, V'lei Zman Mishta. Purim is a Mishta. Shezein Roy Boy L'Mazda, because again, the truth is a Mishta is not a good idea in this world. because it leads into all three things of kinetayv and kavod. The chol's man shayetzer ha'ba'olam, as long as the yetzer is around and kicking, so then it's not good. El rishayim, it's good for the rishayim because then they'll destroy themselves, right? So it's good when they do it, it's good because they just like self destruct, right? Shapizer hanolahem, when they become all mavobal, so it's good for them, it's good for the world, that's fine. But vamishishem isitra dera geremes pizer. And the amishta from the other side causes division. Upirat voyis chabras v'achtos, not bringing together. The kinus l'tzadikim, over when tzadikim come together, hanolahem v'noloilam, it's good for them, it's good for the world. Eina ba'ide mishta. And this is the nekuda. When Klai Yisrael got together, it's not because of the meal, right? Veina mishta geremes hakinus. This is the difference, right? If a person's only loving another yid because they're eating the meal together, it's the other way around. You should want to connect to the yid, to the other person that you're having the meal with, and the meal is a way in which you express that connection. It's not the, so he says, El hakinus goremes hamishta. The bond between yidin should cause the mishta, not the mishta should cause the bond. So la'asa tiknu, and that's why the institution of mishta is liyos oisim mishpacha mishpacha. The sheet of Rashi is like that. Rashi in Megillas Esther writes this mefurish, that part of the takana of Purim, part of the takana is that a person shouldn't eat the mishta Purim by himself. Like when it comes to yontif, right? That's another difference between suda and mishta. According to Rashi, every suda on yontif, there's no halacha that you have to eat it with other people. You can eat it by yourself, it's also fine. But on Purim, it's not like that. The institution was mishpacha. It was instituted that you can't be by yourself. You have to eat with other people. That doesn't say how many people, whatever it is, but it has to be with other people because that's creating that connection to b'shem kol Yisrael, that bond. L'schaber yachad v'chei mishloach manas hu b'shulah schabers, and that's what mishloach manas is about. U'bezeh zoichem shiyuchol litaim mishlid l'asiv, and by having all these elements, now a person is zoichem. By connecting to other yidden, mishpacha mishpacha, and mishloach manas, and so on, then you can taste in the sudas Purim the suda of lasid lavoi, shuastalkus miyetzara milev lagamri, which is the removal of the yetzara completely. The gimel averus. That's why these three yetzaras, and he ties up a few things over here. Those three yetzaras also correspond to the gimel averus, right? Avodizara gilurai shvichas dam, right? Avodizara is gaiva, right? I decide who God is. That's gaiva. Gili Rais is obviously Taiva, and Shrichas Damim is Kas, is anger. So those three Yetzaras are also the Gimel Viras Chamuras, Hanim Shachim and Gimel Yitzrim, which also come from these three Yetzaras, or Gamru Chubim Bais Rishon. And what happened? The first base of Middash was destroyed because of those three. It was Metzina Samo, it took us out of the world. Our world is Eretz Yisrael, the base of Middash. It took us out of there. Ukin Egdon, and what was the second base of Middash destroyed from? Sinas Chinam, right? So, which was a lack of connection to B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Hashokol neged kulam, which is equal to the three averes, like the Gemara says in Yuma, shagar churim bayis beis, which caused the second base of the Middash. Va'oz, so now Purim ba'ascholas bayis beis, the beginning, the awakening of the second base of the Middash. Hisoiru l'sakin zeh, there was an awakening of the ultimate tikkun of all these things, the tikkun of the gimel averes chamurais by the removal of the three yetzaharas, which is the mishta of Purim, and the tikkun of sinas chinam. And the connection of B'Shem Kol Yisrael in the context of Sudas Purim, which is a mitzvah of Shalach Manas, connecting to Sudas Purim. So the Indian of Sudas, the Mishta Purim with Shalach Manas, is itself the opposite of everything that brought down the first and second Beis Hamikdash. The Indian of Mishta Purim and Shalach Manas fixes that. The Mishta itself, with its three elements, which would usually bring to Kinetayv and Kavod, but now it's on Purim, it doesn't. So it's a tikkun of what destroyed the first base of Mikdash. And the fact that it's also done in the context of Shalach Manas is a tikkun of what brought down the second base of Mikdash. So he says, Sheisukin says, Sheyakol Yisrael b'schabros, and through this all of Kol Yisrael are together, Yitikun HaKol, and that brings the tikkun of all things. Vein Pol Shelos means every Purim, and that caused... And an awakening of this was taking place on Purim. No, that's their goal. Tzaddik goes on to say, it was ready. There was no more room on the page. But Tzaddik, just a few more lines in this piece. You can look it up yourself. Tzaddik says that that's why once a person has it on Purim, then there's no reason why it has to stop on Purim. It can continue on. And he says that's the Indian of why the minig by, not everyone, but the minig of many Yidden is to have the Suda Purim later in the day, right? To the point of where it sort of continues on after Purim. Because he says that's the Purim, the whole Inyan of Purim is not for it to be just a standalone Zach. It's to usher us into a you know, introduce us to a future time where the light of Purim should then be mamshich and to continue, where we should be able to overcome all the yetzaras through his kashrus and his chabrus with Knesset Yisrael, and connecting ourselves to the time that's lost. Love you, shazaycha to that. Be'naim niglim, v'yizkot, tzak barachim, v'mher, v'meinu, v'meinu, v'meinu.